presence, your power, your anointing, your glory, oh God. Descend in this place, oh God. Come on, the glory of the Lord is in this place right now. What you feel is God's presence. What you feel is God's glory. Come on, we've pressed into the Holy of Holies tonight. You're standing beyond the veil. You're standing in the Shekinah of God. Anything is possible right now. Right now, a situation can be reversed. Right now, blind eyes can be opened in the presence of God. Oh, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We magnify your name, oh God. We exalt your name, Jesus. We extol you, God. We esteem you, God. We extol your great name. There's nobody like you, God. None beside you. None before you, God. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, Jesus. Lift you up, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to go to the Word of God very quickly. Psalms chapter 77. Psalms chapter 77. Brother Dross is not able to be here tonight. He's going to be here next Sunday night. But I believe that God's hand is on this service and that He has a will for us tonight. And that God is going to speak to us by His Word. Praise God. How many of you believe that in the house of God tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Psalms chapter 77, beginning in verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest my eyes waking. You hold my eyes open, God. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among thy people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. When I thought about everything that you had created, God, when I thought about the way that you made provision for every generation that came before me, as I considered your creation, as I considered the going forth of your plan and your purpose, the voice of your thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I want to preach for just a few moments tonight on this thought: footprints upon the sea. Footprints upon the sea. Why don't you put your Bibles down and somebody make some noise for just a moment. God, we glorify you. We magnify you, Jesus. We exalt your name, O God. We extol you, O God. You are great tonight and greatly to be praised. All blessing and honor and glory belongs to you, O God. Anoint this house tonight, God. Shake the foundation of this place, O God. Move as only you can, O God. Move in every heart. Move in every mind. Move in every spirit, God. I pray that you would encourage your people. I pray that you would lift up the downtrodden, God. I pray that you would restore. I pray that you would bring faith and anointing and victory and deliverance and healing to your people tonight, God. I pray that by the time we leave tonight, that somebody can go out different than how they came. I pray, oh God, that you would open up somebody's understanding in this place tonight, God. By your right arm, God, deliver. By your right arm, God, save. By your right arm, God, redeem in the name of Jesus. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody lift him up and magnify the Lord. Somebody exalt the name of Jesus. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be in my mouth. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. That is the challenge of serving God. What this writer of Psalms is trying to explain to us, what he is trying to get across to us, is that many times in life you are looking at your circumstance, you're looking at your situation, you're looking at the adversity. And if I could just be frank with you tonight, sometimes it's difficult to see God. Sometimes it's difficult to hear God. Sometimes it's difficult to believe that God is listening to you, that God is on your team, that God is on your side. That's what the writer is attempting tonight to articulate. He said, when I was dealing with my circumstance in the middle of the night, I was troubled. I was perplexed. I was in a strait. I was in a place where I couldn't figure out where God was. I couldn't see God. It's difficult at times to see God, but the reason that it's difficult to see God is because of how he travels, because of how God moves, and because of how he operates. If you look at the narrative of the human story, if you look across the landscape of the Word of God, you will realize that every generation had this same basic conflict. Every generation had a difficult time following God, had a difficult time understanding God, because there are moments in our lives when we cannot see him, and we have these five senses in order to function in finite reality. We have eyes to see and ears to hear and mouths to speak, and we have these senses. We have the ability to analyze the physical world by the five senses, but a lot of times when we're dealing with God, we cannot perceive him. It's like Job. He said, I was in a difficult situation and I looked for God and I could not perceive him. I looked on the left hand and on the right hand. I couldn't see him. I looked in front and behind. I even went to where God is normally working, because God has a pattern of practice, of behavior. But I went to the places where I could normally perceive God, but I couldn't perceive him. And this is the state of human existence. Many times we are frustrated while following God, but it is because of a fundamental flaw in our human perspective, because of how we see him and because of how he really is. The nature of following God, though, is made clear in Scripture. It is clearly articulated in Scripture. It was spoken about prophetically in the Psalms in our text tonight. Thy way, O God, is in the sea. Thy paths are in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. What that tells us is that if you're going to follow God, you have to be able to clearly distinguish footprints upon the water. It's difficult to see a footprint on the water. And so a lot of times, and that's what the writer's saying here, he said, when I started thinking about you, God, and I started thinking about how you led the children of Israel out of the wilderness, God, when I'm looking back on their life, see, this is the difficult part. It's a lot of this stuff about following God is easy in concept. It's easy in theory. It's easy as we sit in the classroom and talk about it. But it's another thing altogether to live it out. It's another thing altogether to walk it out. And what the writer is saying here is that when I considered my situation, God, I started thinking that maybe you weren't around. I made my complaint known to you and you didn't answer me. And I was trying to get you to tell me what to do and where to go. But God, I couldn't get an answer. And so I started in my midnight time when I was awake and you were holding my eyelids open, God. I couldn't sleep. And so I started in my confusion, I started to analyze, God, how you work. And I started thinking about the creation story. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and he has established it upon the floods. He said, when I started thinking about the lightning and the thundering and the shaking that happened in the creation story, God, I realized that you are working with a spiritual dynamic, that you founded this upon the seas and that you established it upon the floods. He said, when I started thinking about the people of God and how you led them from generation to generation, I realized, God, that you are operating in the fluid and not the fixed. I realized, God, that you are operating in the supernatural and not the natural. I've come to tell somebody here today, maybe the reason that you can't find God in your situation is because God's out several steps ahead of you on the water and you're trying to figure out where he is in the known, and God's three or four steps ahead of you saying, come on, come on, step out of the known. We're trying to figure God out. We're trying to find an answer for our situation. And the reality of it is that God is not in the situation itself, but God is out on the fluid and he's moving out ahead of us. You see, this is what the writer had to study. He had to go back and study Abraham. He had to go back and study these passages of Scripture in Genesis where God is calling Abraham away from his home and his country. Now, let me tell you something today. Let me remind somebody here today that when God started talking to Abraham, God did not talk to Abraham about covenant first, but God started talking to Abraham about what he wanted to do in his life. God started talking to Abraham about everything he wanted to produce in his life. There was a vocational component to the call of God before God told him specifically what to do. He said, Abraham, you have no idea what I'm thinking about your life. You have no idea the business that you can operate. You have no idea the ministry that you can produce. Everything you've done up to this point is so structured and it's so finite and it's so planned. But Abraham, if I could get you to come out of the house and I can get you to start walking, where Where do I go, God? What is the path forward? Don't worry about it, Abraham. Just go ahead and stand up. Just go ahead and stand up. No, God, I'm comfortable here. No, I want you to go ahead and stand up. I want you to go ahead and get up on your feet. I want you to go ahead and move out of the known. I want you to... But what are you going to do, God? I'm going to do something that you can't comprehend. But if you're going to find my footsteps, you can't stay where you are. You got to get up, Abraham. What are you going to do, God? I'm going to do something that's going to blow your mind. And so incrementally, God begins to tell Abraham about the plan. Now, it's important to understand that Abraham doesn't see the entirety of the plan of God from where he's standing. He can't see how the incremental steps are going to play out. He can't see how each moment of obedience to God is going to cause something supernatural to unfold in his life. He can't even, you read the poem about the footprints in the sand. And that whole conversation. But the reality of it is that God's not walking in the sand, that he's walking out on the water. He's not walking in the known. And a lot of times people get confused because they're trying to find the footsteps of God in their predictable life. I'm just telling you, life can be boring until you start really living for God. Life can be really mundane until you realize that God's plans for you are exciting. I'm just telling you that when you realize what God has for you, you realize that God has not called you to sit in a dry and boring place and twiddle your thumbs. God's called you to step out. Come on, Abraham. Get up, Abraham. Step out of what you know. Step out of the familiar. Step out of the predictable. I've got some footsteps out on the water that I want you to begin to explore. And that journey is complicated. Living for God is complicated. It's easy in concept, but it's complicated in practice. So what the writer is saying is when I started thinking about how God works, I realized I was trying to figure God out in the known. But God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone and blood. And so God is not starting the process in my life in the known, but he's starting the process in the unknown. And a lot of times to figure out how God's working in our life is going to require that we step out of where we are. I'm telling you, a circumstance can paralyze you. A circumstance can immobilize you. But it was when the writer said, when I realized, God, how you work and how you travel, I realized that your footsteps are not in the situation itself, but God will bring a situation into your life that will keep you up at night in order for you to get up out of your familiarity and out of your complacency and get you to start walking in some places you've never been before. He started thinking about the children of Israel and Moses and the plan of God. See, the children of Israel murmured and complained because they didn't understand what God was trying to do in their life. They didn't understand that in front of them was the footsteps of God. Where were the footsteps? They were out on the water. They were out on the Red Sea. Before they ever crossed through the Red Sea, he had already traveled across the Red Sea. And where their feet were going to step in on dry land, the steps of God had already walked on the water. It's amazing to me that the disciples of Jesus, because see, this is the deal. The steps of God are not clearly seen. The voice of God is not clearly heard. And many times, this is what Jesus told the disciples. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. That word spirit is rhema. The entire multitude heard the voice of God. Israel heard the voice of God, but they could not make out the voice of God because it was rhema. It was a prophetic word. It was a now word. When the disciples were following Jesus, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And they look at him walking on the water and they perceive what? That he was a spirit. He's walking on the water. But Brother Warren, if they had read their Bible, If they had looked back to the text in Psalms chapter 77, then they would have realized that the one walking on the water had already walked on the water. If they would have realized that the plan of God was moving progressively forward, but they couldn't see it and they couldn't identify it. I'm here to tell this church tonight that God wants to do some things in us that He's never done before, but it's going to require that we get out of our place of familiarity. I'm telling you, God wants to do some things that we could not even imagine, but it's going to require that we start walking out on the fluid, walking out on the unknown. It's Sunday night in the house of God, and we're not going long. But I'm just telling you what the will of God is. The will of God is for us to have a move of God on a Sunday night. What I feel in my spirit tonight is that anything can happen here tonight. What I feel in my spirit tonight is that God is calling us to have church like we've never had church before. You're asking me, you're looking at me tonight and you're saying, what does that mean? What that means is that God's out on the water and we can't stay on the shore while God is walking out into places we've never been before. I've been telling you about what God has done in my life in the last 15 to 20 years. And I've been talking to you about how God, and God's showing me this at this in this season of my life. But there were so many things that God told me in secret. There were so many places I was walking. When I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that it was in the lowest place of my life, it was the lowest time of my life, I had made the most mistakes that I have ever made in a season of my life. Brother Warren, my relationships were fractured. My relationship with my parents was fractured. My relationship with the pastor was not in good shape. I was not in a good place in my life. And I was broken. I was broken. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was in a low place. I was as low as you could go. And I thought, I'm moving on. I was going to flee the scene. I was going to get out of Dodge. I was going to find another place to camp out. I had made up my mind that I was moving. It was in that season, Brother Warren, that God visited me. In the darkness of the night, in the chaos, in the wilderness. And He started telling me about what He wanted to do in my life. It was, you see, God called Abraham and started telling him what he was going to do in his life before he asked him to circumcise. And you can spend your whole life worried about the details, worried about how you're going to get it right. God is not concerned with your perfection. God is concerned with your obedience. God called Abraham and started telling him what he wanted to do in his life before Abraham was in covenant with God. And you've heard it all your life that the Holy Ghost is salvific and vocational. But let me tell you something. When God thinks about you, God does not think about your imperfections. God doesn't think about your speech impediment. God doesn't think about your limp. God doesn't think about your age. God doesn't think about your handicap. God thinks about what He made you to do. God thinks about the places that you can walk in God. If you ever make up your mind, I'm a child of God. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Abraham, I'm going to use you. Abraham, I'm going to make a mighty nation of you. Abraham, watch this. Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. The question is, can you conceptualize that? What it means when God says great. What does it mean when God says great? You have no idea. You can't even conceptualize it. And you're looking for the plan. You're looking for the program. You're looking for the path. You're looking for the way. And he said, you don't need a program. You don't need a path. You don't need a way. I'll take you. I'll take you. Where are we going? We're going out on the water. But I don't want to go out on the water. I've never walked on water before. That's all right. There are already footprints on the water. There's already a path through the water. There's already a way. God, how are you going to do it? Don't worry about it. I'm going to do it. And then he comes back to Abraham and he starts to reiterate the covenant. He comes over and over and over again. And then he tells him, Abraham said, God, give me a sign. Give me a way that I'm going to know that you're going to do all of this great stuff in me. He said, I'll give you a sign. Guess what it's called? Circumcision. You want a sign? I'm going to give you a pact. I'm going to give you a covenant. I'm going to give you an opportunity to buy into my plan. I'm tired of apostolic people spending 30 years in the shallows trying to get the standards right. I'm tired of apostolic people playing in the kiddie pool waiting till they get perfect. God did not call you to perfection. He called you to obedience. Waiting to get good at teaching a Bible study before you get a chart. The devil is a liar. You were called for more than where you are. I'm not preaching cheap grace. But I'm telling you, I'm tired of young people staying in the shallows, waiting till they get it all together. God called you before he formed you in the belly. He knew you and he ordained you to be a prophet. You were a prophet before you got holy, baby. You were a prophet before you got circumcised. I'm just telling you, what God wants to do in this church, what God wants to do in your life is so incredible. But that whole faith business is about God. This is the deal. God gives you the promise. He tells you what he wants to do in your life. And then he demands that you start walking toward him. Come on. Come on. God, where are we going? We're going out on the water. We're going out. We're going out into the unknown. We're going to a place that you've never been before. But God, I'm scared. Yeah, that's all right. I haven't given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. What these men and women of God proved is not that you have to be perfect to do the will of God, but it's that you have to have faith to do the will of God. And as you walk out your faith, you are going to be made perfect. You can't get perfect playing in the kiddie pool. You've got to get perfect out on the water. I'm just telling you, God's about to pour out revival. Between now and next Sunday night, Brother Dross is coming. I think we need to do something we've never done before. I just think we need to do something we've never done before. What does that mean? That means between now and next Sunday night, how many Hispanic people can we get in the house? How many Hispanic people can you bring? I'm telling you, it is an untapped reservoir in the city of Birmingham, the Hispanic community. I'm telling you, the next wave of revival in this church could push the African-American and the Caucasians out of the house when it comes to Hispanic revival. There are already footsteps that have walked out on that water. God's already gone before us. You know what I did this afternoon when we left church? Went out to eat, and then I went to Orlando's house. He said, I texted him. I was like, man, where are you? Brother Alex, it's good to see you in the house tonight. Praise God. Brother Joss isn't here. I'm sorry. I went to Orlando's house. I said, what are you doing? He said, the United States is playing Mexico in the whatever cup, soccer cup. I texted the pastor. I said, I bet they're all at Orlando's house. I got there. The soccer match wasn't until 7 o'clock tonight. I thought, my God in heaven. And then I got a call from Brother Draw saying, I'm not going to be here tonight. And I'm like, perfect. Next Sunday night, there won't be a soccer match. Praise God. What time is it? 7:38. If I dismissed you right now, would it be the earliest that I've ever dismissed? Yes. Let me ask you a question. If I dismiss this church right now that's walking out on the water. Would you go to Walmart or a Mexican restaurant and eat? How many of you would find some, Brother Roderick? Raise your hand if you would leave here tonight and go eat some Mexican food somewhere. Raise your hand high. I want to see your hand. If I dismiss you right now. Hands. Where are your hands? My goodness. All right. Go eat Mexican food. We're done. Invite somebody to church. Let's fill up the house. Let's have revival. Go eat. Go win somebody to God. Go and get some cards. Go and invite everybody that you know to church.